Family, the bedrock of society, an important influence to children that helps shape in their perspective of life as they grow up. It helps in building their confidence, shaping their beliefs, values, and more importantly, helps them to become what God has ordained them to be. The dynamics of the family circle cannot be overemphasized. It plays a key role in our social interactions as adults and as children. And because of its domino effect in our lives, we need to pay attention to it and be heavily invested in building a healthy, strong family with the goal of raising better children, building healthy relationships between spouses, but more importantly, in building a better society across all nations. Get ready to explore and learn with Pastor Fumi Alawale on the subject of family dynamics and its impact in our lives.
Hello, good day everyone. How has your week been? I hope you are enjoying the weather and you're doing great. We're back on family dynamics again. And this, the last series we did was on masturbation. We'll come back to that with time. But I just have an understanding we should do forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. So before we start, I just want to read Matthew 6, 9 to 15. This is the prayer when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And this prayer that he taught them is what everybody that has one time or the other been to church, if you have been to Sunday school, we say it all the time. So it's what everybody knows. So I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, pray like this, Matthew 6, 9 to 15. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to learn at your feet again. We ask as we go through this series on forgiveness, we receive grace and strength and understanding to be able to live in obedience to your word and to be able to forgive people that have offended us one way or the other. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Teach us and let your Spirit walk with us so that we might understand what you're saying in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So this is a very familiar passage that we all read. Maybe once a week as we go to church on a Sunday or even in our home when we do family altar, we read this all the time. So we saw that after the prayer for food, he said, give us today the food we need and forgive our sins. So that means we are asking God to also forgive our sins. And he went ahead to say, as we are forgiving those who sin against us. So that means if we want God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. Because we are saying, forgive us our sins as we are forgiving those who sin against us. So that means the implication of that, or maybe what we can say about that is, when you ask God to forgive your sin, God is looking at you. Have you forgiven those that offended you? So, God, forgive me my sin as I have forgiven those who sin against me. So that's the way it works. And then in the last verse, which is verse 15 that we read, he said, if you forgive those who sin against you, so if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So this is so, so deep. So if for one reason or the other we say, okay, this person offended me and he did so badly, I cannot forgive them. A lot of times we see people, I can't forgive. I find it so difficult. I cannot forgive. And this will happen many times. But what God is saying that if we don't forgive the person that has offended us, we also, we cannot receive forgiveness. So the question I want us to ask ourselves today is, have you ever hurt somebody and wished to be forgiven? You've done something so bad, you knew it. You wish that this person can forgive you. But for one way or the other, you discover that the person cannot forgive you. How do we feel? And what do we think about each time we remember that relationship? Do you spend time thinking about the person that has wronged you, or how do you forgive? So through ages, we discover that it's part of life to struggle with all these questions. Do we forgive people that have offended us, or are they forgiving us? Sometimes we see people that have done so much evil to us, and we find it so, so difficult to forgive. But what the Bible is saying to us, especially for those of us that are believers, those of us that are Christian, I'm not talking of people that go to church, those of us that have been forgiven, that have given our life to Jesus one way or the other, there is a grace upon our lives that helps to forgive people. And because we have the Spirit of God, it makes it easy for us to forgive. So, I want to talk about a story that I read in one of the books that one of our pastors wrote. And the book is actually on forgiveness, I think. I can't remember the title of the book now. But after I think it was during the introduction of the book, he wrote a story of a particular person. When they were in, I think, university days, they normally would go out, you know, go out to villages, pray for people that are sick, do like a mini crusade. You know, when you go out on village evangelism, they were doing that from one place to the other. And one of the places they got to, they wanted to pray for this. This woman has a son that has been incapacitated for a long time. He was just lying down there. It maybe in a place like developed countries like UK or America, there may be opportunity for them to be taken care of. You can have wheelchair or scooter or whatever to make it easy for you. In fact, in UK, they will give you everything in the house to make it easy for you to nurture that particular kind of a child. But in Africa, that is not the case, especially if you don't have the money to do it. In fact, even when you have money, the roads are not laid in a way that you can use scooter, you can use fine wheelchair, motorized wheelchair, and things like that. So it's a difficult thing for a parent to look after a son for years upon years, and there is no hope. So when these people got to the village and they were ministering to people, people were getting saved, people are getting healed. This woman was on the crusade ground, and one way or the other, she was able to tell them about the son that has been lying down for many years. And so they arranged to meet with her in the house. They got to the place, they ministered, they brought the boy out of the bedroom, and they were ministering to the boy, they were praying. They believed God so much that something was going to happen. And what he could not do before, he was able to stand a bit and did something. So they were so excited, and they were continuing to say, this one has to be a total healing, total deliverance, and they want it now. They got to a point where things just stopped where they were. And they were wondering what it is, and the Lord spoke to one of them that they should talk to the mother and ask her what the issues are. That there is somebody that she has to forgive for that son to be healed. And when they ask her, they stop the prayer, they ask everybody to sit down, they turn to the mother. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. And this, for your son to be totally healed, you have to forgive somebody that you're holding in your heart. And she said, she started crying. She cried so much. They didn't understand what was going on. By the time she gathered strength to be able to speak, she said that person did something terrible to her and that she cannot forgive. She's not going to be able to do it. Whatever it is, she can't forgive. And they sat her down, they spoke with her, they prayed with her. They said, you know what? Forgiving that person is tied to the healing of your son. But she couldn't just forgive. And they had to leave and leave the son that way. And this is what the devil does. So, the Bible said in Matthew 18:21-22, when the disciples were asking Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody that has offended me? Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? There are people in our lives that they always want to do things that will make you unhappy. They are always doing things that will hurt you and all that. But this is the answer Jesus gave. He says, seven times. The guy, Peter asks, is it seven times? He said, no, not seven times, answered Jesus. But 70 times seven, that's 490 times in a day. It's not possible, no matter how bad the person is, for you to be offended that much in a day. So this is telling us that we don't have excuse for not forgiving people. And it's important that we forgive them so that our own forgiveness can come. And each time I think about this verse or this scripture, I normally will look at it and say, so if I'm holding an offense against somebody for that length of time, and even though I'm born again, but that person, I say, no, what this person did to me, I can't forgive. Does that mean if I die now, I'm going to hell? I want to say categorically, because you are holding that person down in unforgiveness, the Bible is saying you are not forgiven. God cannot forgive your sins as well. And so it's so important that we find it in our heart to forgive. So what is forgiveness? And how do we describe forgiveness? To forgive means, first of all, to cease to feel resentment against the person that offended you. That's how Webster Dictionary defined it. To cease to feel resentment against somebody. To pardon. This was what Jesus did for us. The Bible says, while we were sinners, while we were evil people, while we hated him, he still went ahead to forgive our sins. So when you cease to feel resentment against somebody that has offended you, according to that Webster dictionary, then that is forgiveness. So you don't see the person, maybe it's quite some time you've seen the person now come around and you see yourself face to face. The way you feel in your heart is what will tell you you're forgiving the person. If you're feeling bad or you feel unhappy or you feel anger in your heart towards the person, that shows you have not forgiven the person. So sometimes you may not even see the person, just hearing good news that, oh, so-so-so person is doing so well, you know, God has lifted him, I was with him in Canada, and this happened. And how do you feel towards that good news? If you feel so bad that you get to your room and cry and say, even me, this one that did evil, you know, that means you have not forgiven the person. So when you are forgiven the person, you no longer feel resentment towards the person. You have pardoned. So you no longer harbor grudge against them. You no longer bear malice against them. You have made peace with them. That is what forgiveness means. So when we forgive, we are being merciful. We are being compassionate. We are being human. So letting go of any grudges, that is forgiveness. Removing focus from past mistakes or problems. Don't focus on those mistakes again. Don't focus on what your husband did 2 years ago. Don't focus on his or on maybe he misbehaved or he lied to you and he said, I can no longer trust you. And that has been for years. So anything, you don't even trust him. That is still unforgiveness. So when you remove focus from the past mistake, a lot of time in families, when there are issues and you have sorted it out a few years ago, the person that did it has asked for forgiveness. It is wrong for you to bring it up again. Maybe this 2 years after, or even 2 weeks after, something else happened. Say, oh, that was what you did 2 years ago. That was what you did this one. So that means you are keeping the record of wrongs. And God does not want us to do that. So when you dissolve any anger that you've been harboring because of that offense, is dissolved. You no longer feel angered towards the person. That is what forgiveness means. So is it easy or hard to forgive or to let go of offenses? I want to tell you that it's a very, very difficult act. If anyone has offended you before, if someone has done something to upset you or to make you angry or to hurt you before, maybe in your class or even in the church, how do you feel when you see the person? How do you respond to them or good news when you hear good news about them? So it may not be easy to forgive people, but what God wants us to do is to forgive. So response could be in different ways. When someone or other people do something to you, wrong to you, you can respond in three different ways. You could ignore what they said or did. So this may be a good decision. You may say, what is it? But most of the time, you don't get a chance to deal with that emotions. So if you don't have the time to deal with the emotions, even though you have ignored it, you have put it behind you, you have kept it somewhere, when you hold on something, it eats you up. So when you have not acted, you have not said anything to them, you may think, let me just ignore it. It's part of life. But if it's holding you down, if it's eating you up, that means you need to deal with it. So is there anyone who wants to share a time of how unforgiveness affected you? Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. And there's so many, it's like infection of the tongue. Or, I mean, when there is infection of the thumb, they call it whitlow. An infection can get really bad when you ignore it and do nothing about it. You say, oh, it will go with time. The way it came, that's the way it will go. A lot of time, it will not go. So it gets red, it gets swollen, it gets really painful. And if you deal with it at the early stage, it may not even get to that extent. Get antibiotics and use it, the infection dies. But if you leave it, and say, it will go with time. The pain will continue. When you have pain in your finger, it affects everything that you're doing. You can't even do much. And it may get to the point that doctor may have to put an incision to drain the finger. If you are somebody like me that is prone to keloid, that thumb may be affected with keloid formation. So that's why It is not a good thing, especially if it's eating you away, to just say, I'm going to ignore it. Maybe that's not the good option. The second option is to get the revenge. I want to get revenge. I want to let them know that this they've done, they can't go scot-free. So you either do the exact thing they did to you, or better still, something even worse than they did. Is this the wisest thing to do? Not really. For many of us, revenge is what comes naturally. We just want to show them that what they did is bad. And if I do the same thing to them, how will they feel? So we want some revenge. And the Bible says, God said, vengeance is mine, I will revenge. It's not in our place to take revenge. So let's leave God to do that. So your brother eats you for no reason. You take a whack on his head, back, and whack him on his head. There are possible consequences. I remember my sister, my immediate junior sister, when we're growing up, she doesn't fight anybody. But one day, she got so angry with my brother, and she gave him a dirty slap. And this boy collapsed on the floor and just went like that. My mom came, thought they were fighting and was beating him, and not knowing that he had fainted. That day, my sister cried, but God intervened. When everything finished, she said, you can imagine if they say the sister killed the brother, that would be a guilt I'll carry for life. So sometimes taking revenge by ourselves is not the best thing to do because we may overdo it. And God is not even happy with that. So another thing that we need to do is forgiveness. You could choose to forgive the person for what they did or said. That is the best option. Choose to forgive them. Choose to forgive them. Forgiveness is the best of the three. It allows you to give the situation to God and let Him sort things out. God can heal your pain. He's done it with so many people. Even if it is possible, if it is not possible to be friends with that person again, but God can heal your pain and you can forgive. I was listening to a woman got his son killed. His son was killed by another. So they now had the opportunity to meet the killer of the son. And in pain, she looked at the boy and said, I cannot hold you responsible. I forgive you. That was what the boy was praying. He's been in prison for a long time. And when the woman said it, this boy broke down and was crying. It's difficult, but it's what God wants us to do. Forgiveness is not just the best option. It is a command from Jesus. Why should we forgive? It's a command from Jesus. Say, forgive so that you can receive forgiveness. The disciples did not understand very well what Jesus was trying to say when he told them the story, the parable, the story of a king who wanted to collect from his servant what they owed him. You know, this king, that's in Matthew 18, 21 to 22, wanted to collect what the servant owed him. He called him in and asked for his payment. The boy said, please, don't throw me in prison. I don't have the money. I'm trying to gather and all that. So the king now said, okay, go. I let you go. Don't worry about it again. But this servant left the presence of the king, went and met one of his friends who was owing him a little amount of money compared to what he was owing the king. According to the king, from some translations of the Bible, the servant owed the king a large sum of money, 10,000 bags of gold. That's what a version of the Bible said. He could not pay, but what the king would have done, gather all his possessions, go and sell it, and if it's not enough, put him in prison. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But he went after the same thing he did to the king. It was the same thing the servant did. I said, please, give me more time. I'm going to send to you. I'm going to pay back. But it was difficult for him to do that. He couldn't have mercy on him. He now asked the people to put him in jail until he was able to pay. So one of the servants went and reported to the king. The king had mercy on you and let you go. And you cannot do the same thing. His debt was erased. He received the mercy from the king, but he could not do it. He left the palace, and in Matthew 18, 30, 34, he dealt with that servant. So the king called him back and said, what you have done, what I did to you, you should have done it. How much is this guy owing you? So forgiveness is the best option. It is not easy to forgive others, but it is what we have been commanded to do, especially for us as Christians. The other person may not even be sorry for what they did. We still have to let go, forgive, and give it over to God. A lot of times, when we are able to forgive others, we receive forgiveness of God as well. And it is something that we have to do, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. So remember, that is what Colossians 3:13 says. I read it in NLT. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This is so, so key. And I don't know, I don't want it to be too long. I think we will stop here and then continue in another session. So Colossians 3:12-14 message says it this way. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion. So as believers, as Christians, we should be robed with compassion. We should be robed with kindness. We should be robed with humility, quiet, strength, discipline. Be even tempered. Content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And Colossians 3:13, Good News Bible says, be tolerant with one another and forgive one another. Whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else, you must forgive one another just as the Lord Jesus has forgiven you. So I just want us to think about this. Is there anyone that has offended you? Who will be offended? It's part of life for us to offend one another. But what God wants us to do, just as He forgave us, He also wants us to forgive others. The Lord bless you and have a wonderful day. God bless.